back to Reddit Reply, your go-to source for current international affairs events. Today, buckle up as we delve into the whirlwind of the Navalny controversy, exploring the suspicious circumstances surrounding his tragic death and the allegations of political assassination. Then, we'll navigate the high-stakes battle for the Republican nominee in the U.S.
Finally, we'll be going over the situation in Argentina regarding their new anarchic leadership and the words of the French Prime Minister and what he thinks about the Russian military.
Our first focus today brings us to Russia, where the passing of opposition leader Alexei Navalny has sent shockwaves through the international community. Navalny's death, which many allege to be a political assassination orchestrated by Russian President Vladimir Putin, has reignited concerns about the state of democracy and human rights in the country. For a little bit of background, Alexei Navalny was a vocal critic of the Kremlin and was serving a prison sentence under harsh conditions when he passed away. Despite claims of quote-unquote natural causes, suspicions linger about the circumstances surrounding his demise and his death, and secrecy has followed the story throughout the last 2 weeks. The funeral was marked by heavy police presence and restrictions on mourners, and this evidently reflects the ongoing struggle for any political dissent in Russia or any opposition to Putin.
Yes, well, it seems as the opposition of Putin tends to do very well in their political careers, often rising to leadership and challenging him fairly.
Well, I mean, I don't know how fair the next election will be, if we consider all the corruption. Well, to continue, the scenes from Navalny's funeral have graced all the newspapers lately, but they paint a really vivid picture of the challenges citizens face for or anyone who dares to challenge the Russian government's authority. There's a very clear, like, juxtaposition between Navalny's modest farewell at this funeral and the President Putin's lavish State of the Nation address that he does regularly. That underscores a deepening divide within Russian society. It's very much a we are in charge, we will present what we think is the truth.
So while the Russian oligarchy and leadership seems to think they have everything under control, this show of support for his opposition may signal that in Russia, the tides are slowly changing, with people coming out against the war and coming out against Putin's regime.
Absolutely. It also raises broader questions about like the state of democracy and human rights in Russia and the amount of dissent that is, for lack of a better word, acceptable to the government before harsher, kind of like a crackdown on this dissent, because as I mentioned, a heavy police presence at the funeral and many restrictions placed on mourners. So just reflecting on Navalny's legacy in general, amidst the backdrop of war in Ukraine, we're like reminded of the interconnected struggles for freedom and for just advocating and for having a voice amidst very little decision-making power of the Russian citizens.
Well, we can see something very similar, which happened with the Wagner Group, where the leadership, for maybe only a day, decided he was going to march upon the Kremlin. Later, we found out he died in a plane crash, which, again, signaling that Putin's power does seem to be absolute, at least for the time being, until the masses come to the conclusion that he may not be needed.
Exactly. In general, just the unwavering courage of Navalny is what he's being remembered for. And in the face of adversity, he's a reminder of the significance of just speaking truth to power, and especially right now amidst the Ukraine and Russian conflict. Next, we're going to be analyzing Donald Trump's recent victories in the Republican primaries and what that signifies for the upcoming 2024 November election in the U.S. So over this past weekend, we're recording on March 4th, Trump clinched significant wins in Missouri, Michigan, and Idaho caucuses, and he is very quickly solidifying his path to the Republican nomination. These victories come as no surprise for those keeping up, but Trump continues to maintain a commanding lead over his sole and only remaining rival, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. with Trump projected to secure all available delegates in key states like Missouri and Idaho, he's poised to accumulate a substantial delegate count, which will surpass Haley's tally. And basically, at some point, she will have to remove her nomination. Yeah.
Well, doesn't seem like the best situation going over there for the anti-Trump supporters. While Nikki Haley did a while ago present a significant threat, as long with Ron DeSantis, the competition seems to be slowly fading away more and more until it has become quite sure that Trump will most likely be the Republican nominee.
Absolutely. And his message on migration at the U.S.-Mexico border has really once again resonated strongly with his base during recent rallies in Virginia and North Carolina. And his supporters are consistently expressing deep concerns about border security and have basically wholeheartedly echo Trump's calls for stricter immigration policies and anything he's really saying, especially against Joe Biden and his accusations against the president, contribute to his success right now. Yeah,
they love that he is so outspoken on these issues. Well, I do think it is important to note that there was recently a bipartisan border bill that was brought to the floor, but Trump and his supporters did end up vetoing that bill, signaling that it was not everything that they wanted, and almost referred to it as an open border policy. While this is the base and the view of some, it is important to remember that even the border guards and the association there did vote in favor of this bill, hoping that it would get passed, citing that it had the harshest restrictions for the border in any recent years.
I think it also shows how clearly opposed to even his own, some of the opinions in his own party, Trump mm-hmm. and his campaign are currently, and how much closer he's getting, even amidst all of the ongoing court cases, how much closer he's getting to, especially Super Tuesday, which is very close, but to the Republican nomination and subsequently the election in November.
Yes, and it is important to remember that his influence is not lost on anybody within the party.
Yeah, they're either purposely distancing themselves or trying to kind of like buddy up to him because it's basically you are for or against Trump if you're part of the Republican Party.
He will, and if he does end up becoming the Republican nomination, he will have to announce a vice president running mate with, and some of these Republicans may want to be getting in on the ground floor.
Absolutely.
Moving on to the situation in Argentina. In this year of elections, Argentina was certainly not one to miss out, where recently the new libertarian candidate, which was running against the former economic minister from the previous government, has won the new election. Originally, despite Sergio Massa, the old economic minister, looking favorable after the first election, due to a lack of turnout, a runoff election had to be held. In this runoff election, Javier Milei ended up winning by a margin of 10%, with 55 to 44% in this runoff election. Ever since this runoff election, Mr. Milei has not been subtle about his implementations, and love him or hate him, he seems to be sticking by his campaign promises. Locally, Milei has announced the shutdown of its Federal Reserve as a non-negotiable part of his term. He's also planning to dollarize the country, using the United States as its backing currency, and seems to be following trends other South American countries have taken, like Ecuador.
Well, this clearly seems to be an influence or for like the result to be more trade with the U.S. if they're implementing the American dollar as their main central currency.
Yes, with inflation being so high, I think the thought process, especially behind the libertarian idea, is that having a strong backing like the U.S. will help stabilize the dollar and the peso in their current country. That way they will be able to tie it back to something that is much more stable and stabilize their own markets and currencies.
It's reminiscent of the Bretton Woods regime when they had the U.S.-backed gold standard. We all know how that ended up. But, I mean, we got rid of that fairly quickly in the 80s. Yeah. So, hopefully, this, like, progression in the Argentine economy is for the better. But if he has such strong views, then there could be some fears of, as you mentioned, like, kind of overpowering the needs or the demands of the public they do have a fairly strong democracy, but this could really turn the tide.
Yes, and while some do take issue with Mele's new policies, because of his libertarian stance, he has withdrawn funding from a lot of socialized programs and believing in much more of a capitalistic society for Argentina. Now, a lot of different organizations have tried to rebel against this. Specifically, a local group of soup kitchens was rallying against him, calling for his downfall due to this cut of their social program.
Well, I mean, all social cuts in history, I mean, they all have their political reasonings, and I understand austerity is a very important economic principle, but we can see, like, the life, like, the quality of life impacts when public services and welfare are cut. So, I mean, amidst a prospering economy in, like, Argentina, this will, as you mentioned, kind of promote and spur on their capitalist agendas and potentially even their foreign direct investment, maybe attracting more foreign investment. But it does come at the downfall of the citizens' well-being.
Yes. Well, Milei has had a lot of local effects. It is important to recognize that internationally he has taken lots of action too. He has taken a lot of different actions too. One of the big implications for the international community after his election was that he announced, despite the previous government's ideas and promises, he will not be joining the BRICS bloc. For those who don't know, the BRICS bloc is supposed to be a counter-organization to NATO, the North American...
Trade organization?
That's what it is, yeah. The North American Trade Organization, and it will include likes of Brazil, Russia, India, and China, which are, again, the group's namesakes.
And South Africa. Yeah.
Yeah, to try to induce and increase trade among the countries and provide, again, a counter-organization to the North American Trade Organization.
Yeah, BRICS is definitely huge in the kind of switching to a multipolar international political economy from, you know, years of U.S. hegemony, but this also has impacts on which global South countries will latch on to NATO or BRICS and could potentially create a bipolar kind of Russia-U.S. alliance system.
Well, the reason that Milei cited that he was against joining the BRICS organization was because of his libertarian views in the first place. He stated that he was much more like the Western capitalistic societies and liked being backed like the dollar, again, going back to being backed by the dollar, rather than joining some of the more socialist and communist countries like Russia. On the topic of Russia, we can now move into our final story regarding the French Prime Minister and the recent words that have shocked the United Nations and different countries. Recently, the French Prime Minister has said that the war has been going on long enough and they would like to put a stop to Russia at all cost. This comes as a big shock as the consensus in the UN thus far has been entirely to fund and provide equipment, but have never offered the idea of providing direct soldiers or direct interference within the war. This way they can keep their hands slightly clean. Now, this was until the French Prime Minister's words, and he announced that he will not rule anything out, including the possibility of a ground invasion.
Wow, that's very different than the current U.S. stance. But, I mean, yes, it is reminiscent of Canada has recently said, Bill Blair, Minister of National Defense, that they're considering deploying only non-combat units to Ukraine under specific conditions. So, I mean, France is, at this moment, alone in their thinking. But it would be very interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, it has the war has been going on for a very long time at this point and does not show any sign of stopping. Well, the world does seem to be continuously funding and applying to Ukraine. As we've seen recently within Canada and the United States, there's been some pushback to these big payouts for Ukraine, given that there's a lot of uncertainty within the internals of our countries, which may end up putting a bit of a halt to the funding of Ukraine. If that happens, the war may take a turn for the worse.
Let's hope not, but it is interesting to see how different NATO countries are reacting. Just even talking last story about NATO and BRICS, we can see clearly the tensions that are rising, both economically with how much to fund, but also just defense in general. I know Canada's also been prompted lately by NATO to improve their security and just our military conditions and, like, levels of enrollment. So.
Well, yes, I would hope we wouldn't be implementing conscription. As a male above the age of 18, it's not my favorite idea.
Yeah, we're just being prompted as, because one of the weakest NATO countries, military-wise. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, lots of different talks from different countries about how to progress with the Ukraine-Russian war.
Well, we will have to see how that ends up getting implemented, and if Canada will increase its defense budget, we will be there to let you know. We do want you to keep in mind, as viewers, that this has not happened yet, and there is no guarantee that that troops will ever need to be deployed within the Ukraine. And the and has condemned this statement, so we'll have to just wait and see how it plays out overall.
And just to end the episode off today, we have a few good news stories because we know international affairs can sometimes be a little depressing. So first off, in a historic achievement, the Intuitive Machines company has successfully landed their Odysseus spacecraft on the moon's south pole, which marks NASA's first return to lunar exploration in the last 50 years. So it's a groundbreaking mission, and it's just part of NASA's overall ambitions to create vital scientific instruments that pave the way for future lunar exploration, resource utilization, and just space exploration in general.
So we are back on the moon.
Only took a 50-year break.
Oh, my gosh.
But they've made it back.
You think they're going to find the moon Martians this time?
Hopefully. I mean, that could be a little... We could spice it up a little.
Exactly. They were always hiding on the south side.
Yeah, we just hadn't looked there yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Damn Neil Armstrong. Looking on the wrong side of the moon.
Neil Armstrong did not find the Martians for us. Yeah. But in another good news story, this one is my personal favorite. Clackamas County in Oregon, which is part of the greater Portland area, has recently revealed that they've achieved a remarkable 65% drop in homelessness from 2019 to 2023, which clearly is surpassing all rehousing goals and just all ambitions in general.
That seems incredible. 65% is not nothing. That is an amazing amount of people being put back into homes.
Yeah, and they've mentioned it was through their supportive housing services initiative. So 314 individuals have been rehoused in just 6 months, which is exceeding their targets by 20%. And several, like almost 500 people and households have found stable, permanent housing. And over 1,400 individuals have been saved from eviction through their supportive housing services.
Wow. Well, that is great news. And hopefully different parts of the world will be able to use what they've done in Portland and implement it elsewhere.
Absolutely. That's all we have for today at Right of Reply, but we hope you tune in and at our next episode.
Have a great week, everybody.